You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM, KKNW, the Saturday, April 22nd show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to rebroadcast, but you can call into the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com to ask any questions of the guests that I have in studio. And right now, I have Greg Nunn with Nunn Better Tax Resolution. It's after the filing time, April file date, and your tax returns. What is the next step? What do you need to do? Greg Nunn, a little bit about Greg. Thanks for coming back in studio. Almost forgot to say thanks, Greg, for joining me again.
Well, thank you for having me again.
A little bit about Greg. Gregory Nunn is founder and principal at Nunn Better Tax Resolution in Redmond, Washington. The first firm, a tax resolution specialist in Washington State, his passion is helping people that find themselves in a predicament with the IRS due to failing of filed tax returns and or not paying what the IRS claims they owe. He represents these troubled taxpayers vigorously before the IRS. His practice also provides tax preparation and tax planning for the individual and business. Gregory is a licensed CPA in the state of Washington and been in the industry for over 20 years, 30 years. Whoops, I've been in the industry over 20 years. He is a member of the American Society and Tax Problem Solvers, the premier association of professional help troubled taxpayers. He has received the Top Practitioner Award for the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers, and he is also a certified tax resolution specialist. Greg has published a book titled Solve Your Tax Problems Now. And I always like to just disclose, Greg does help troubled taxpayers out there that find themselves in a predicament and need some assistance, but he also helps people that do not have tax issues. So anybody that needs tax assistance, Greg, I personally speak for myself because he is my everything go-to tax guy. So Greg, thanks again for coming in, and great to have a conversation about what happens after the filing date and the tax returns. So if you filed your tax returns, what should you do with them?
Well, first, I hope everyone out there has filed, and if you have not filed, that you filed an extension. Otherwise, you're in for a rude awakening when you pay your taxes. It's interesting. The first thing that we should do now that we filed our taxes is to think about them some more. Think about what might be in store for 2017. You know, review your tax return and understand what's in there. A lot of people, and I speak from experience watching some clients, they really don't look at what's in their tax return or really fully understand it. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing to know so you know what dynamics might be in there as they contribute to your tax liability. And if you have a tax preparer, have them review that return with you so yeah. they can explain it to you so you know what's going on. And if you don't have someone, could you do it yourself or you use one of the online programs, you know, go visit a CPA or an enrolled agent, an EA, and just have them explain what's in the tax return. One caveat, if you go see a professional to have them provide you an update or discussion, disclosure, what's in your tax return so you understand it. Remember, it's a professional service and do expect to pay a fee.
Of course. And just like mortgage documents, I mean, you're going through and taking a look at your mortgage documents. You want to take a look at your tax documents. So, Greg, you should know about what is in your tax return. So what are the important
pieces? Well, some of the important things in there is to understand how your income that you have and the type mm-hmm. of income, how that contributes to your tax liability. Also, to understand how your itemized deductions contribute to what you might owe, and tax credits. And so many of these things are so extremely ridiculously complicated because with computers these days, the Congress seems like they want to make all these formulas very complicated and phase out rules and phase in rules and no one rules. So you got to take a look at what your mm-hmm. particular situation is.
And I would imagine, too, you can get some strategy and advice on maybe what you could do differently next year to make it more favorable for you.
It is. I mean, now's yeah. really the time to plan for that.
Sure.
So many of us, we do our tax return and we're shocked either, wow, what happened? Or I owe mm-hmm. a lot of money or I got a huge refund. Hey, figure it out while you're going through the year. That's a lot easier that way.
So let's talk about that. Huge refund or not so good, you owe a huge amount to the IRS.
Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes it's just a psychological dynamic. Some people like seeing that big refund coming at the end of the year. Others are exactly the opposite, that if they see they have a big refund, they are infuriated because they gave the government too much money to, of theirs to hold on to.
You got it. Exactly.
So if you are in either one of those situations and you really want to modify what your refund is or what you have to pay for employees, primarily it's all dictated by that W-4 that we fill out, and most companies will ask you to fill it out every year. And that dictates what's going to be withheld from your paycheck. And that is the one that you really want to pay close attention to. You know, try to get it as close as to what you think your tax liability will be for the year.
Yeah. When you know what I do with my clients in mortgage, especially for first-time home buyers, is send them back to you and you know, coach on how they can amend that W-4 so that they can realize that tax benefit on a monthly basis.
Absolutely.
Not like the government collect interest on money.
Right.
Now, for self-employed, all of us that are self-employed or commission, a little bit more challenging to kind of figure out where that sweet spot is in breaking even. And really, that's the ideal, I think, is just to break even. Don't owe money and definitely don't let the government hold on to it. So anything else to explain on the W-4?
Remember, in case you aren't familiar with it, the W-4 is that thing that says, you know, single zero or married two. Or,
and what is the maximum you can put on there without having any dependents?
Seriously, you can fill out a W-4 that claims that you don't want any tax withheld and you're tax exempt. I do not recommend that. but typically, you know, if you're the goal of the W-4 is to try to simulate the idea of how many dependents you have. So if it's husband, wife, and two kids, you know, married four, it's trying to simulate that, but it's not always real effective in doing that.
But a lot of times, aren't they increasing those, you know, from what they have for dependents because they've got so many opportunities to write off and that way they can get that money?
Exactly right.
And that's kind of what you do is you
no
go
one's
through
the same.
And, yes.
I mean, you might be someone that has an immense amount of deductions like mortgage interest or property taxes, and you're getting this huge tax benefit that really you'd want to raise the amount of your exemptions on your W-4 so you can retain
of
that
course.
Income during the year. Others, it could be the other way around. You're making really good money, but you have very few deductions.
Yeah.
And so
go buy real estate.
I think that's in
there. That's a, yeah, I'm going to ask
that's,
you,
that's
I'm gonna ask you that later. Okay.
Well, how did you know that?
So let's go to tax professional, Greg. What is the importance of hiring someone like you to take care of your taxes?
I think it's one of two things. One, if doing it on an annual basis, I think, is the right thing for some people, not for everybody. For others, you know, using the online programs, I think, is sufficient. But periodically, just sit down with a tax professional.
Sure.
Because most of the time when we're doing the programs on the internet, not to degrade them in any way, but they're asking questions. And it's an interviewing process. And sometimes we don't really understand what that question's asking of us. Because I've seen more than one occasion where people do some pretty funny things in their tax return because they just didn't understand the question.
Sure.
No fault of their own.
Yeah. So, Greg, let's talk about investments.
Mm.
How do those play in?
Oh, you mean like our retirement accounts and that kind of thing. And that's another reason why to take a look at things today. So many of us have opportunities to save, but we don't save because we want the money today. However, it's like anything, man. You start putting that little $100 aside every month or $200 aside. Pretty soon, you just adjust your living standards to what you have left. And then, man, before you know it, you have a huge nest egg.
Yeah.
And the younger you are, the sooner you should start. Because as you get to be my age, it's a little more difficult to accumulate all that wealth that we need to have when we retire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Greg, let's get back to real estate. We have real estate professionals in studio. My regular listeners and everyone here knows that full-time I do mortgages, and that's my expertise. So, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons to buy real estate, but let's go from a tax perspective.
From a tax perspective, the best reason to buy real estate, of course, are those deductions that we are going to get from that mortgage interest and the property taxes. The tax code, really, the way it's written right now, is most advantageous for the average person to have real estate because it's really trying to motivate people to buy property. It's always the biggest driver in our economy. When construction is happening, economy is good. When houses are selling, economy is good. When real estate prices are going up, economy is good. So those are all really awesome reasons to own real estate, is primarily for the tax benefit of it.
Yeah. Now, you, as first-time home buyers, you know, they do need to be careful to make sure they're looking at their options and whether they're filing standard.
They do. Yes.
Most of the time, if you can afford to buy, it's probably not going to make. But you've got to kind of balance, you know, weigh that out to see what the true benefit is.
You do have to know what that true benefit is. Sometimes I'm asked, "Hey, Greg, when should I buy my house? What should I do?" First of all, buy it when you can afford it. And the second part is try to buy it as early in the year as you can if you're trying to maximize your tax benefits that year.
Yep.
Because if you buy it later in the year, your tax benefits may be nil. However, if that's the time you're able to afford to buy, don't wait. Just get the property.
Makes
get
sense.
That house.
Especially with interest rates, appreciation, and all of that.
Absolutely.
And let's hope the interest credit doesn't go away. But I'm heading to D.C. on some of this stuff that's, you know, in legislation. So interesting stuff happening. When is the, well, we just answered that the best time to buy is going to be at the beginning of the year, except for disclosure, as if it makes sense for you, you can do something, get in, because we don't know what's going to happen with interest rates.
Yep.
What is the standard deduction, and how much is it for 2017?
Okay. One thing to think about when you're going through your tax return, you're either going to have the standard deduction or you're going to have itemized deductions, whichever is the higher of the two. The standard deduction, everybody gets no matter what itemized deductions you have, like, you know, mortgage interest, property taxes, charitable contributions, maybe some medical expenses or something of that nature. So a person filing married jointly automatically gets a $12,700 deduction for the standard deduction. Single is half that, $6,350. So you have that no matter what. And so that's something you can look at as you're planning for your tax year, to see what that standard deduction is, and then see what kind of itemized deductions you have that might lift you up above that standard deduction and what you can plan for during the year. And maybe it's just something small where you can load a lot of deductions into one year because you're just kind of on the margin.
Sure.
And then not as many as in the next year.
Got it.
You know, especially charitable, that's a good one you can control.
Yes, yes. So, Greg, what about tax brackets and the various tax brackets?
Oh, tax brackets. We all love those. Most of us are going to be somewhere between 10% and 33%. Well, excuse me, 39.6%.
I was going to say,
I'm sorry. There's one up there a little bit higher. I guess I just don't look at it because I'm not there. So anyway, it can. The thing is, these tax brackets, again, that's where tax planning can come in. You might be right on the fringe of moving some of your income in the next higher tax bracket, and then maybe there's some things you can do so that doesn't happen.
Sure.
So instead of something being taxed at 33%, maybe you can keep it in the 28% tax bracket. So there you've saved 5%. Think about that. 5% of 10,000.
Yeah.
That's a nice dinner at, you know, Daniel's Broiler or something.
Yeah. So Greg, in wrapping up, how do you determine your what your tax rate is?
I think this is one of the most important things to understand in your tax return, and that is you have what's called the marginal rate, which are the different tax brackets. You're going to have part of your income taxed at 10%, some at 15%, some at 25%. And so the marginal rate is the highest tax bracket you're being taxed in. But your effective rate is looking at the total tax that you've paid and divide it by your total income. It's going to be a whole different percentage, depending upon your income and so forth. You know, it could be 5 to 10% less than what your actual marginal tax bracket rate is.
Got it.
And it's a great thing to know, because then again, if you're looking at deductions, you can go, well, for every $100, I can see that I can save 20%. Well, that might make you, again, think about what you could do in getting some deductions.
Yes. And I was told on the real estate side, too, it's important to know that the interest is based on the last income tax bracket that you're, you know, so a lot of consumers, a lot of homeowners don't know that it's the last dollars earned tax bracket. So if you pay $1 in that other one, you're going to get the interest write-off on that 33 versus the 25. So
correct.
Makes a huge difference. Greg, thank you again, as always, for coming into the studio. It's always a pleasure.
I sure appreciate being here, and I hope it helps some people to hear what I had to say today.
I'm sure it does. You know it does, because we always have listeners call and ask for you. So I'll look forward to having you back, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
Coming up next on The Money Hour, what's happening in today's real estate market? Francine Schneider with RE/MAX Integrity right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.